going on, guys? Welcome back to Inside Scoop. This is Sean Emery, the founder and chief investment officer of Avery & Company. You know, today what I wanted to do is just, you know, do a little bit of a post-recon on Fiverr's earnings this week. Look, we have a call with management on Monday, so we'll have a lot of questions, and then we can do maybe a post-post, you know, mortem on that. You know, I think if we just simply step back and look at, you know, some of the numbers that they reported, I think at a very high level, they started off the year on a pretty solid footing. And that's both for, you know, top line and bottom line. So they beat their own guidance by about $2 million on the revenue side. They also beat on the, you know, their adjusted EBITDA or their cash flow side. You know, it's four quarters in a row now that this is a GAAP income, you know, generating company. And I think that puts them in a pretty strong place. You know, going back over the last year and a half, you know, you've had really three things that have impacted, you know, maybe the sentiment more so than even the fundamentals of this business. Number one, it's really around the health of the economy and people fearful of, you know, companies that are adjacent to, call it the jobs market, and people waiting for that jobs market to crack. So you look at someone like Fiverr that is sitting in the freelance marketplace, essentially people hiring instead of employees, they're hiring freelancers. What we've seen over time, though, as it relates to that is, you know, if you go back to the history of, call it freelancing or even, you know, temporary work, is that for every downturn, there's an upswing. And every upswing, you know, digital freelancing and freelancing more broadly takes more and more share as it's easier and easier to find kind of these side jobs that then become, you know, much more full-time jobs. But at the same time, work or employees or companies are seeking, you know, non-committal jobs or employees. So I think that's an important distinction for that first part, the economy or the macro side. Number two is really around the AI and the concerns around AI impacting, call it freelance work and or, you know, creatives and such. And they did a really good job this quarter at articulating, you know, many of the positives that we think are layering in on the AI side. So you have things like the announcement that they have 10,000 AI workers on the platform. And, you know, in the grand scheme of things, that's a big number. You know, we'll get more information on exactly the definition of that. But you can imagine, you know, they have various categories, you know, 30, 40, 50 categories of AI services on the platform. They could basically just look through that and, you know, basically quantify how many individuals, you know, fit within those categories. And I assume that's the number. But net, you know, I've made a post on X and my handle is @_Sean, S-E-A-N, David. So @_SeanDavid, where I post a lot about this stuff. But it's really that, you know, it's almost as if, you know, when you think of a digital marketplace for digital services, you know, it's somewhat of a, you know, how people look at consulting firms. You know, if you're looking to understand AI, for example, you know, a lot of these large enterprises will turn to Accenture and many of the others that sit out there and use them as kind of the platform to understand the space, but then also, you know, seek out employees and skills for that. And you can find that on these digital marketplaces much faster and have vetted talent pretty quickly to come on the platform. So again, on the AI space, you know, they said incrementally it added to GMV. GMV from AI services grew 95% year over year. That's off a low base, and that was questioned on the call, but it's still, you know, continuing to progress. You know, complex services is a third of their GMV today. And GMV, you know, gross merchandise volume or gross payment volume, you know, there's so many different platforms that say them in different ways. But generally the amount of volume that is coming through that platform. Now, the complex services being one third, they define complex services as essentially where there's like human intervention, that's required to, you know, sustain a job. So as jobs become more and more complex, you know, if there's layers to it, then you essentially can, you know, assume that, you know, that's going to be less sensitive to, you know, some of the AI stuff that's happening out there. So that's a third of the marketplace GMV. And then also it's, you know, I believe it was growing in the, you know, plus 20%. So another factor, you know, as it relates to AI, I think was really around they provided kind of an example of one of the buyers on the platform, you know, essentially spending, you know, $5,000-$10,000 to build, you know, chatbots. So they're basically saying how chatbots are becoming a pretty big part of some of the AI services that are happening on that platform, whether it's setting them up, setting the flow of these chatbots. And we've heard that a lot from, you know, other enterprises that have spoken about chatbots being a pretty big part of AI, initial AI use cases here. So again, I think what's happening is that narrative around AI is getting chopped every quarter that goes on. And you could articulate maybe the first thing, the more macro oriented, you know, part of the three layers is really what is still left to take off. The third one is really around Israel. You know, the company's obviously located there. They're also located in New York, and there's redundancies all across the globe. You know, no data centers there. So there's obviously sentiment impact as it relates to that. But going back to the quarter, you know, just to speak about some of the interesting aspects, spend per buyer increased at 8%. It's one of the fastest paces they've seen in a long time. There's really three, you know, drivers to this platform, which is number one, how many active buyers do they have on the platform? Number two is, you know, how many of these buyers, what's the spend per those buyers? So active buyers, spend per buyer. And then third is really around take rate. You know, how much can they monetize, you know, this buyer base? And two of those three are continuing to rise. And I'll talk about them in that order. So active buyers declined 6%. We'll follow up with them in terms of trying to understand trajectory of that. But active buyers declining, you know, it's one is macro, but two is on purpose. They're trying to move up market. So they're increasing their upmarket initiatives where everything from like Fiverr Enterprise and trying to move into these higher quality, you know, larger spending, you know, buyers that come on the platform and less so for like these $5, $10, you know, projects that, you know, people want. And a lot of that is on purpose. A lot of that is to the macro. But then number two is, you know, is there evidence that supports that, the notion that they're executing well on that? So spend per buyer going up 8%, one of the fastest rates it's grown, you know, in quite a long time, is evidence that, you know, their move towards upmarket continues to increase. And they highlighted or shared some data points around the amount of people spending $500 or more, and that's growing faster than the overall market, but also it's a larger part of the overall, you know, spending on the platform. And last on that note is really around 7% of buyers or transactions on the platform of all the transaction volume that's happening is from repeat buyers. So while this platform is transactional in nature, you're actually seeing, you know, reoccurring nature of this business with a record 67% of all purchases being from repeat buyers. You know, we use it a lot. So like, you know, I understand once you get entrenched in this thing, you can actually, you know, begin to expand your usage on that platform, which is pretty cool. GMV also increased, which I think is important. So if you're thinking of active buyers and then GMV increasing on the platform, which it accelerated quarter to quarter from 1 to 2, I think that's an important signal that, you know, the active buyer loss isn't at the expense of GMV on the platform. So again, active buyer, spend per buyer, and then take rate. Take rate hit another record. I think it was 32.8. You know, if I'm looking at my numbers correctly, 32.3. And that was an increase of 190 basis points year over year. And, you know, there's your traditional take rate, what they take on the transaction, 20 and, you know, 5.5%. So 20 from the seller and, you know, 5.5% to 6% from the buyer on the platform. Has stayed that way for quite some time. Now it's really the other things that are adding to the monetization of, you know, sellers and buyers on this platform. And that really comes down to promoted gigs and also to their Seller Plus platform. Seller Plus, if you listen to our show with like the Fiverr guy, and shout out to the Fiverr guy, he's, you know, crushing it on Fiverr, is the fact that, you know, Seller Plus is a subscription service for sellers. And they go on there, they have, you know, special support with Fiverr themselves. There's other tools and bells and whistles from like a marketing perspective. You know, speaking to the Fiverr guy, you know, he was very happy with, you know, what type of value he gets from that relative to what it cost. The other side is promoted gigs, which I thought was also, you know, pretty interesting data points. And the data around that was, you know, I think it was growing at 55% year over year, which again is a pretty big number. I'm trying to pull up the number now so I can get the actual number for this conversation, but it was right around, you know, 55% growth from promoted gigs. Yeah. And 75% growth from Seller Plus. So again, very interesting to see those two things. Those add to the take rate, which is why you see it increase, which is also why you see, you know, the fact that when people ask them, you know, how high can take rate go, there's the actual transactional take rate. And then there's promoted gigs and Seller Plus, which again, I think are, you know, different orientation of maybe what should can be or what should consider to be take rate in the traditional sense. So we'll talk to them about that and see what we can do in terms of, you know, maybe separating those two into one, or those that one into two. More parts to this story. So that was really the three things, right? Number one, active buyers, and then seeing seller, you know, spend per buyer continue to increase, but then also take rate performing really, really well. And all of this is showing up on the top line. It's showing up on the bottom line. They raised their guidance for the full year, and they also have the $100 million buyback, which they, you know, highlighted that they plan to start immediately. And we'll see. And again, we'll talk to them and see if we can get anything about that. Two more things that I wanted to highlight, because again, this is, we'll have a webcast where we'll talk about everything about Fiverr, but this was really the, you know, the quick post-mortem on the overall report. Generative AI search. So not only, you know, do they have all these expert services on the platform where you can find AI services. If you need a chatbot, creator, app developer, you know, prompt engineer, you can go there and find those. Okay, 10,000, we get it. The GMV from that side growing 95%. Great. Complex services now a third of the platform growing 20%. Great. But then there's what's happening internally. So generative AI search, their Fiverr Neo product, is they gave a little hint on it, and they just said, you know, it's functioning well, and they'll continue to expand that. They're when people use it, what's happening is they're seeing 3x conversion of you know, somebody querying for something, some sort of job, and converting to then obviously, you know, engage with that seller, 3x, I guess, from the normal search. So there, you know, that speeds up the delivery to get from, you know, search to freelancer, let's say, as someone that's, you know, goes on there and finds a buyer. We've found people using Fiverr Neo as well. So it's very useful when it is useful. And there's more to come. You know, Micha, you know, he mentioned he doesn't want to give anything on their around their upcoming summer product launches, but I expect some pretty interesting stuff really around AI, number one, and then number two around the whole ecosystem, which, you know, more to come on our webcast that we have, but like the agency side, and I have more to ask them on Monday. So, you know, we'll have more to talk about, but I think them leaning into agencies and having agency, you know, sellers on this platform could be a big deal. We saw that with Wix. And again, Wix is, you know, they're kind of, close to each other, internally. And so I see a lot of the same playbook that Wix is doing internally, from partnerships to certification or certified, to then the buyback, to a lot of the things that are happening there. So let's see. With that, you know, I'm going to end there. We'll be back, you know, next week. We just had the, you know, the Dutch Bros Starbucks earnings kind of, you know, competition and slash review, I guess, just seeing that there's such a big difference between the two. But anyways, that's it for this week. We'll catch you next week with some interesting insights on earnings. Have a good one.